Good morning, everyone. Magandang umaga po. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Are you all happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just read the passage again read by our scripture reader. This is found in Matthew 11. I'll be reading from verse 1 to 5. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy were cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." May God bless the reading of his word. Let us all pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of worship. And we thank you that we still have full access to your word. We thank you that the Bible is always relevant. It's always significant. And it doesn't stop to speak to all of us. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and our spiritual ears to see your face and to hear your voice. May you speak to all of us this morning. And may you allow us to be under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, your word is the book for all seasons. We thank you, Lord. Bless this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, it's my honor and privilege to be here this morning. I'm just very happy to be standing in front of all of you. And I don't do this just to fulfill my requirement in preaching class. But I really made sure and I really prayed a lot that I would speak today and at least have someone in this room feel blessed before you leave this worship hall. Just a while ago, we saw a video about recycled food in the Philippines. This is the real situation of my countrymen. Many of my countrymen are hungry. And all of those food you leave behind when you eat at KFC, McDonald's, Jollibee are a great source of food for many people. Did you see the process? They collect it, they paid for it, they clean it, they wash it, they recook it, they eat it, and they sell it. The very thing you think is a garbage is a food to someone else. And this is because of our experience in the Philippines, poverty. Many people are suffering because of poverty. Many people are starving to death. And this is a real life situation. So feel blessed if you have something to eat, if you have something on your table, because many of my countrymen in the Philippines are suffering right now. And it's just so difficult. But one thing I love about being a Filipino is we know how to smile. Look at this man on the picture. This guy is collecting food, but he smiles. You know, I love the resiliency of Filipinos. If there's natural disasters, calamities, we just say hi to the camera. Hello, hello to my family out there. If somebody have just died, we just smile. Look at this. These are the poorest of the poorest in my country. You see people, children swimming in a river full of garbage. You see people, you know, pushing people on a man-made boat on the flood. And you see these street children posing for a selfie. And they have one thing in common. All of them are happy. All of them are smiling. Not because we do not feel the pain. The thing is, the reality is that the pain is real, but we choose to be positive. We choose to look at things in a bright perspective. We smile. And even look at this picture. This is a funeral, the second picture, having karaoke. Can you imagine that? In a funeral service, we are singing karaoke. Through the fire, through the limit, to the wall. And that's how Filipinos are. I love being a Filipino. But I'm not saying all these things to deny the fact that there's pain and suffering among my countrymen. And this morning, if you enjoy the video about pagpag, we call it pagpag. My grandmother cooked pagpag today. Who wants to eat pagpag? So we have free lunch. It's pagpag. No, I'm just kidding. But I want you guys to stay after this. This is my last semester. And just my way of saying thank you to all of you. My mom and my grandmother are here. Let's welcome them. And they cooked for all of us this afternoon. Please stand, my mom and my grandmother. Please stand. Tayo tayo. Just so they will know you. So these are the people who are always part of my stories every time I speak in class or in chapel. So they are the main characters of my stories. And I love them. I love them. But don't worry, she didn't cook pagpag. It's a really, really good Filipino food. All right. In the Philippines, in Southeast Asia, we're the second. And I'm so proud of it. Imagine the Philippines have the worst airport. Can you clap your hands for that, Filipinas? We're still number one. Up until this year, and we still have the worst traffic. Clap your hands. And we're still in the second place among the poorest in Southeast Asia. Amazing, isn't it? But look at Filipinos. We're still happy. We still choose to smile. You know, when you think of the Philippines, maybe the first thought you have in mind are the beautiful beaches we have. But don't you know that behind these beautiful beaches and hotels or hospitality workers who don't get paid well, whose salary is not even enough to support a small family. And probably when you think of the Philippines, you think of big shopping malls. We have SM in almost every town in the Philippines. We have 3 kilometers back, we have SM Ono. Just half kilometer, we have SM Taytay. And just in Valley Gulf, we have another SM. But behind these beautiful infrastructures and beautiful shopping malls, big shopping malls, are houses being demolished and families left homeless with no relocation sites. Once, 5 years ago, Mall of Asia was even the biggest mall in Asia. But behind all of these glamorous and luxurious lifestyle of our political leaders are people who are suffering of hunger, lack of education, health issues because of poverty. Healthcare, education, food, home, these are just some of the things that my government, the Philippine government, fails to provide to my countrymen. And somehow in the Philippines, we have developed a subculture within the Filipino culture. And we call it culture of poverty. According to Dr. Tank, I love him, but he's not here. This culture is characterized by having a feeling of helplessness, dependency, and powerlessness. So within the Philippine culture, we have culture of poverty among poor communities. And because of this specific culture, they have developed a cycle of life, a belief system that is telling them, I am born poor, I'm going to die poor. They're somewhat isolated and encapsulated within this culture of poverty, telling them that I am helpless. I can only be dependent on my government. I cannot do anything, and nothing can take me out of poverty. But for all of us here, Should it be the government or should it be Christian organizations? Our responsibility is to break through that culture and to reach out to them and let them know there is hope. There is a God who loves you and me. We need to share to them the gospel. The message of the gospel is very simple. It rests on a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is the very message that we proclaim to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine our passage this morning? The blind was able to see. The lame was able to walk. The leper was cleansed. And the dead was raised. But it didn't say, Jesus didn't say, food was given to the poor people. Clothing was given to the poor people. The amazing thing is that the gospel was preached to the poor people. But who among us here is willing to go through that barrier? Who wouldn't care about the stinkiness of these people, of their different culture? Their culture is not bad. It's just different from your culture. They deserve the same love that we get. They deserve to hear the gospel. God knew that when he sent his son Jesus Christ into this world, that education is a real need, but that's not our greatest need. If the greatest need of humanity is education, God would have sent an educator. If the greatest need of humanity is a political leader, God would have sent a political leader. But no, because God knew, he was certain that the greatest need of the human soul is not to be fed, is not to be taught, although these are all real needs. But the greatest need of our soul is to be saved. And so he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. Why don't we clap our hands for that? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. The greatest need of the human soul is to be saved. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. This time we need to balance everything. We cannot go to the field and just say, God loves you. Go home. Don't ever preach the gospel to a poor person without acknowledging his empty stomach. We need to know it's not about evangelism or social action. It's about evangelism and social action combined together. We do not just speak of the gospel, but we show them. We show our love towards them by what we do. And this is what the Bible says. How do we reach out to the poor people? It says in Deuteronomy 15, 7 to 8 that we got to be generous to them. We got to give whatever they are in need of. Jeremiah 22, 3 commands us not to oppress and to protect those who are deprived. It is our responsibility. It is on our shoulder to stand for all of these people who are being oppressed. And James 2 says that we must give them what they are in need of. Show constant love. This is the key. Show constant love to them. And look out not for your own interests, but for the interests of others. We all know how to give. Amen. We give to the poor. And I've seen that during the rummage sale. Many people donated things. And we were able to raise funds. And the rest were donated to the poor people. I'm happy. Very happy. But one thing that made me really sad is the fact that many people donated things because they think they cannot use it anymore because it's too bad. This is too bad. I'm going to donate it. No. Giving to others, it doesn't work like that. When you give some dignity to the person. You don't give something because it's no use. If it's no use, put it in the garbage, not to the people. And more than half of the rummage sales had of the rummage items had to be thrown. My countryman is not a garbage can. Poor people are not garbage can. They have dignity. They have value. Don't give them something that cannot be used anymore. Don't give them pagpag. Give them Jollibee. If you think that we are more valuable than them because we have clothing, we have accessories, we have good education, they're nothing. They have no money. Let me tell you one thing. How much is this one? 500 pesos. If I crumple it, how much is this one? Is it still 500? What if I put it on the ground and step on it? How much is this? Still 500. And what if I ask, does anyone want to have it? Of course! Come on, guys! If I give it to someone, obviously you're going to take it because it has the same value. And my point is this, whether you are perfect, in perfect shape, whether you are crumpled, whether people are stepping on you, you have the same value in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Amen? Why don't we give clap to our God? Poor or rich, bad or good, we're all the same in God's eyes. And the love that we receive from Him is the same. And then it leads us to another question. There's poverty in the Philippines. How come? We are a Christian nation. We are children of God. If God is real, if God is real in the Philippines, if the Philippines is a Christian nation, how come many people are suffering because of poverty? The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Thessalonians that God has given us two hands and two feet to work. Amen? And God has provided everything that we need. Fresh air, clean water, food, everything is just given to all of us. We just need to be good stewards of them. But how come? The Bible even says in the book of Philippians that God shall provide all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And here in the book of Matthew, we see the Lord's Prayer. Specifically in verse 11, telling us, give us today our daily bread. And here Jesus Christ is emphasizing the need, the great need for all of us to pray for it. But people do not fail to pray. People actually pray. But how come there is still people who are hungry? How come there is still poverty? How come there are some homes with no bread? Why? And how can we declare what the greatest psalmist have declared in Psalm 23? In the midst of a suffering world, we go to the poor communities and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. What do you mean we shall lack nothing? We have nothing. We have nothing to eat. How do we break through that kind of thinking? And how do we reach out to people who are among the poorest? The key is love, respect, pray, provide for them. And you say, I'm in the Philippines, I'm Korean, I don't speak Filipino. That's impossible for me to do. I'm American, I don't speak Tagalog. How could I reach out to them? Let me tell you, there's one thing that everybody will understand. Love is a universal language. Sarah, she doesn't speak Tagalog. Put the blame on me. I don't teach her. But the children in my church, these are the children in my church, they love Sarah and Achi so much. But let me tell you, these two people do not speak Tagalog. And these children do not speak English. But these children love these two wonderful women of God because they have felt love, not heard of love, but they have felt it in the lives of these two women. And I'm telling you, I've seen Achi. I was like, this is a feature doctor. Washing the children, you know, from head to toe. Like, children are lined up, 20 children in our comfort room in the church. And Achi was like, okay, washing. Until eventually, a month or 2 months after, the children started coming clean. Amen? So I realized at that point that my ministry to these children is not only limited to preaching the gospel to them, but you got to teach them some things, some values. social actions. Amen? And I hope we see that. In my church, you will see a clash of culture. Have you ever seen a child pooing on the floor during the service? And it's just terrible. Have you ever seen children running around and your floor is made of food? But I don't see this as a problem. I see it as a situation that we need to deal with. How can we not just speak of the gospel, but let them feel welcomed and accepted in my church? Everyone who has visited my church only has one comment. Your church is very noisy. Amen? Do you believe that? For all of you, that's the first comment I hear from you. Your church is very noisy. But let me tell you one thing. If there's no more noise, I know for certain my church is dying. As long as we have children, even coming from the slum areas, I'm okay and happy with it. Let me share to you my testimony as I close. I know I don't have much time. When I was growing up, my parents would always tell me that back in the 1970s, this is the poor man's meal. It was so cheap. So if you have galunggong, it means you're poor family. But then today, you know what's the cheapest? Beef. Would you believe that? Technology, this one. Noodles. When I was growing up, many people don't believe when I share my testimony. I've experienced the hardest of the hardest about life. There was a time when we didn't have electricity. My parents are here, I cannot lie. My mom is here, she has witnessed everything. We've experienced not having electricity for 2 years when I was in high school. We had to connect to our neighbor just so we could have light and a place to sleep comfortably. It was so hard. It was very dark. I also experienced a time, you know, when I asked my Japanese friend Kotoba, he's one of my best friends, what's your favorite food? He said, ramen. Do you mean instant ramen? Yeah, I love ramen. And at that point, and I realized, Lord, it reminds me of my childhood life. Believe it or not, my family survived with this. 2 packs of cheap noodles to be shared by a family of 7 with 3 extended family members. My mom will have to cook it and put a lot of salt in the soup so that it will still be salty. For many years, we survived with this. Back then, it was 5 pesos. Now, it's 9 pesos. We couldn't afford it. And if life is good, we have this. Sardines. Protein. Growing up, I only had 1 pair of shoes. And I was being bullied for that. I never asked my parents to buy me one because I knew life was very hard and they just simply couldn't afford it. The first time my brother got his job, he bought me many shoes. In fact, 20 pairs of shoes. And even right now, if you go to my room, I have a lot of clothes, I have a lot of shoes, and they're all from my brother. I never bought one for myself because my brother knew that I was deprived and neglected of all of these things. But one thing my father taught me is to never complain about life. Whatever is on the table, eat it. And so I feel bad if I see leftovers on the plate. My father was a farmer when she was young. And my mom, her part was to be a housewife, to be a mother, and to pray for all of us. Life is so hard in the Philippines. And I'm sharing all of these things not to make you feel bad for me, not for you to pity me, but to let you know that when I speak of poverty, I know what I'm speaking about. This is not something I heard about. This is not something I read from the book. This is not something I researched on. This is something that I've experienced firsthand. I'm coming from an insider's perspective and not from an outsider's perspective. Just bear with me if you don't like preachers who cry. One thing that people are struggling or are having a hard time dealing with me would be understanding my handwriting. It's just so hard to understand, and I'm the only person in this room who can understand my handwriting. This one is a doctor's order. If anyone can read it, I'm going to give you 500. And I'm confident right now because I know I'm the only one who can read it. And Ms. Sherry is also a nurse. Doctors in the Philippines, I don't know if in other countries as well, are just so difficult. They're giving us a hard time. But just upon focusing on it and just really meditating on it, prayerfully reading this, this is what it says. Even though I translate it, I think it's still hard for you to understand because of the medical terminologies. But this is what it means. Anesthesia post orders may transfer to PACU, flat on bed until 7 p.m., so on and so forth. It's very hard to be a nurse, right? I feel like we always have to read Greek and Hebrew. And I'm sharing this to all of you to make you understand that sometimes if we deal with people outside of our culture, it's hard to understand them. We need someone to translate their culture for all of us. And I guess that's my purpose right now. Some of you will be staying here for 2 or 3 more years. Some are leaving. But I want you to understand that my Filipino people are not wrong for having such culture, the culture of poverty. They're just different. And we need to discover how we can deal with them. We don't have much time. But here we have Jesus Christ saying, I understand how these people feel. He came. And this is what the prophet says. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. This is the very message of the gospel. This is the very message that Jesus Christ is carrying and that He wants us to carry. Ultimately, God remains as the God of the poor, and we are all equally loved by God. And this is the question. If God is good, why is there poverty? If God is good, why is it that many people are suffering? If God is good, why is it that many people are crying out and it seems that nobody hears them? We know that God's existence is real. It's certain. So maybe we could rephrase the question a little bit, or maybe rephrase it or change it completely. Let me ask you this question. Why do poor people don't feel loved and accepted when there are millions of Christians all over the world? They do not see the invisible God, but they can see the visible Christians. We are the hands and feet of God. In the midst of poverty, in the midst of suffering, God extends His love to these people through us. But how do we do that? How do we do that? I also have here one of my favorite cousins, Makmak. She gave me a gift a couple of months ago. Then I will close, I promise. She's an artist. She's only 12 years old. And this is what she says. We are saved to live. And now we live to serve. You have been saved by God for a cost. Your responsibility is now to live in service of other people and of our God. And that's my challenge to all of you this evening, this morning, this afternoon, this day. I'm a little bit disoriented now because of I haven't slept for 2 weeks. But I think for all of my classmates and friends who have heard me presented and preached many times, I always conclude everything with a poem. Let me read this for you. This is something I wrote yesterday evening. Who is willing to open the door and to welcome the homeless indoor? Who is willing to talk to the man next door whose skin is full of sore? We see children who sleep on the floor, but we only look at them as if we're in a tour. Who will stand against the oppressor of these people who are the inferior? Everywhere we see people who are poor, who do not get money for their labor. But we know for sure that we can be their protector and give them dignity and honor. They live in a world that does not have color, as life brings suffering and horror. Life is difficult, like having a tumor, and all the blame goes to our life's creator, author. There's so much pain that they harbor, and life doesn't seem to have a flavor. The only thing they wish upon a meteor is for a better life and a purpose to live for. In our Christian core, to love like our pastor. So let us harmonize our belief and behavior by showing love to our poor neighbor. It doesn't matter if you are a professor, nor if you are a doctor. Helping the poor is not the only the task of the governor, but of every true Christian warrior. Look at yourself in the mirror and remove all your glamour. Then try to do God a favor to tell people of the love of our Savior. God bless you all. Let us all pray.